Es gab eine Welle.
Okay, I'm supposed to talk to you about precision measurements in neutrino interactions for NUTEV, CHORUS, and NOMAD. So I'll spend a couple of minutes on detectors and very briefly on some pentaquark search. And then I'll spend most of the time on dimuons and the weak mixing angle. And I'd like to acknowledge the collaborations and in particular Roberto Petti. The NUTEV detector is a calorimeter target consisting of iron and liquid scintillator with a total mass of 690 tons. This is followed by magnetized iron toroids for muon ID and muon momentum measurements. The number of interactions is about 1.5 million nu mu cc and 500,000 anti nu mu cc. The physics is dimuons, structure functions, and sine squared theta w. The CHORUS detector that you heard about this morning, there's an emulsion target, mass of 770 kilograms, the number of interactions about 2 million, mostly for oscillations and charm. And then they use the electromagnetic calorimeter that followed, made out of lead and scintillator of a total mass of 112 tons. To accumulate 15 million nu mu cc events. The NOMAD detector that you also heard about this morning, there are three targets. The front calorimeter made out of iron and scintillator, mass of 17.7 tons, 12 million nu mu cc events. And then NOMAD used the front part of the coil that magnetized the NOMAD magnets. That's aluminium, 3 tons, 1.5 million nu mu cc. And finally, there is the main target of NOMAD, consisting of the drift chambers, essentially carbon, density almost as low as liquid hydrogen, mass of 2.6 tons, number of interactions 1.3 times 10 to the 6. This is a typical NOMAD event. You can see that NOMAD can identify and reconstruct individual tracks and clusters in the calorimeter. Okay, a brief word about this pentaquark. You've probably heard that the positive strangeness baryon, the theta plus, mass of 1530 MeV, has been observed in several experiments, including in a reanalysis of neutrino data taken at BEPS and at the 15-foot bubble chamber at Fermilab. It's observed in K plus N and K0 short P, and it's believed to be a pentaquark UU DD S bar. NOMAD has searched for it in charge current and neutral current interactions, in particular using its high purity 25,000 K0S sample, which, when combined with a 60% purity proton sample, gave an invariant mass plot, which is shown here. In red is the background. And you can see an enhancement of about 33 events at the mass of the theta plus. The width is consistent with the mass resolution of the experiment, about 9 MeV, and they extract a mass of 1528.7 plus or minus 2.5 MeV and a width which is quite small. The NOMAD results are shown here together with a compilation of all other measurements of the theta plus. These are the NOMAD points. Okay, we go on to dimuons, maybe. Okay. In dimuons, if you have a nu mu coming in, charge current interaction giving you a mu minus, the W plus can interact with an S or a D quark, giving you a charm quark, which then fragments and decays into semi-leptonically. That gives you the mu minus and the mu plus. So the dimuon process is a product of the dimuon of the charm cross section times the fragmentation times the branching ratio. For isoscalar targets, the expression is here, and you see there is a term involving the charm mass, which means that there is a threshold to this effect, and that's a suppression at low energies. In addition, there is a term which is the strange content of the nucleon, which is small, however, it's multiplied by VCS, so that for neutrino interactions, 50% of the charm actually comes from the strange C, and in antineutrinos, it's as much as 90%. The energy dependence of the dimuon production gives you M sub C. The X dependence gives you the strange content in the form of kappa, the strangeness suppression in the C. The energy fraction of the recoil against the muon taken by the mu plus gives you the fragmentation, and the overall rate gives you the branching ratio. This is a list of all the numbers of events collected by experiments over the last decades, in particular CCFR and UTEV, with about 5,000 events each. We now have the latest analysis of CORUS that has just been put on the market, 10,700 events. That's now the largest sample. NOMAD has 13,600 events, which are shown here. That's the opposite sign and the like sign events. The like sign are used to subtract, to compute the background and subtract it from the opposite sign. So far, NOMAD has only analyzed to extract parameters about less than half of this data. The parameters are shown here at leading order. You see that they vary. The mass of the charm varies between 1.25 and 1.45. Kappa varies between 0.3 and 0.5, and B sub mu is of the order of 10%. Now, CCFR and NOMAD did next to leading order calculations as well, and for CCFR it goes from 1.3 to 1.69, NOMAD 1.25 to 1.58. So you see that MC depends on what order the calculation is performed at. The higher the order, the larger the quark mass. I would also like to point out that this M sub C can be extracted from an analysis of E plus E minus collisions near the charm threshold. And in this paper, M sub C was calculated with a precision of 0.027 MeV. So far, this has been done with the... UTEV also did a leading order analysis as a function of the PDFs that were used, and you see that there are quite large variations in the kappa from 0.32 to 0.44, which then reflect on variation on the M sub C. So whenever you use a set of parameters, it has to be intimately tied to the parton distribution used to derive it. So far, this was all these analyses were done with a symmetric C. Using their large anti-nu-mu sample of dimuons, NUTEV has tried to distinguish between S and S bar. So at, they have a next leading order calculation. They fix these two parameters. They have a CTEC parameterization with this constraint. And the result is shown here for x times s minus as a function of x. It's basically negative. And if you integrate this over x, you get minus 0.009 plus or minus 0.0014. Anticipating things a little bit, in order to explain the NUTEV sine squared theta w anomaly, would require this to be plus 0.006. Okay, going on to sine squared theta w. The neutral current structure functions depend on it, as is shown here. The charge current structure functions do not, and this allows the computation of sine squared theta w through the ratio of neutral current to charge current in either neutrino or antineutrino interactions. This is the formula for R nu as a function of theta w, with small r being the ratio of charge current in antineutrino to charge current in neutrino interactions, which is a half. I'm sorry, I have this upside down. It's a typo. So for R nu bar, it's the same expression except that little r is 1 over this, and therefore it's a factor of 2, which makes R nu bar less sensitive to sine squared theta w than R nu. This is prone to uncertainties from modeling, such as charm mass and strange C. So an alternative is to measure charge current and neutral current in both neutrino and antineutrino interactions. That's the Paskos-Wolfenstein method. R minus is then the difference between the neutral current interactions in neutrino and antineutrino divided by the same by the charge current interactions in the two processes. And this is good because you have a large cancellation of uncertainties such as the strange C. However, the problem is that you have to do it separately in neutrino and antineutrino beams, since if you have a mixed beams, you cannot distinguish neutral current from neutrinos from those from antineutrinos. And this was actually done by Newtev. They used a sign-selected quadrupole train beamline at Fermilab. Dipole magnets following the proton target select the sign of the parent pions, resulting in neutrino or antineutrino beams of high purity. In neutrino beam, only 0.03% of the events were due to antineutrinos, and in the antineutrino beam, only 0.4% of the events were due to neutrinos. They distinguished charge current from neutral current on the basis of the penetrating power of the muon in CC events. Clearly, if you have a muon, it traverses more planes of scintillator, and the event length is therefore longer. So they have a cut at 16 to 18 counters, depending on the energy. Below this, the event is classified as neutral current, and above this, as a charge current. These are the ratios that they measure. And I would also like to point out that in the neutral current candidates, you have new ECC and anti-new ECC events that amount to about 5% of their neutral current candidates. Using these ratios, in order to get the sine squared theta W, you need a model. It was a leading order model in which they injected higher twist and some longitudinal scattering. The parton distributions were obtained from the same, basically the same detector, that's an ion detector, in CCFR. The assumption was that the strange C was symmetric, and the strange C itself was extracted from the CCFR and UTEV dimuon data, again, same detector. The charm mass was also extracted from this dimuon data. The nuclear effects, well, since they extracted the PDFs from their own ion target, it's assumed to be the same in neutral current. It's included in the PDF, and it's assumed to be the same in neutral current as in charge current. And the radiative corrections were extracted based on this paper. This is a summary of the uncertainties. The statistical uncertainty on delta sine squared theta W is 0.00135. The experimental systematics is 0.00063. A good fraction of it comes from this new E content of the beam. The total model is 0.00064, and most of that comes from charm production and the strange C. Okay, the result is sine squared theta W on shell, 0.22773, with this statistical and systematic error, which is about 3 sigma higher than the sine squared theta W from the standard model. This is sine squared theta W effective for LEP and SLD, NUTEV, and the Mirlis scattering in APV. So where does the difference come from? It seems to be almost entirely due to a difference in R nu. That's the value they get. That's the prediction. R nu bar is rather consistent. So what are the possible sources of discrepancy? First of all, there's electroweak corrections. There is a later calculation which could reduce this discrepancy by about one sigma. Next, the leading order effects are estimated to be small, but new TEV is in any case doing a full next to leading order re-evaluation. Nuclear effects, well, as I said, the PDFs that are used are extracted from the INCC data, so they already include the right nuclear effects in principle. But could the nuclear effects be different in the two interactions? Miller and Thomas in this paper have studied this. They suggest that shadowing due to vector meson dominance could be different in NC and CC. On the other hand, VMD is a low-X phenomenon, affects mostly C quarks, and the effect should cancel to some extent in R minus. The strange C, the computation assumes that the strange C is symmetric. What if it isn't? Brodsky and Ma have argued that some non-perturbative effects could introduce a difference. On the other hand, the new TEV analysis of the dimuon data, as I've shown you earlier, does not support this. Their result is minus 0.009 with this error, whereas you would like something of this order. On the other hand, a more complete analysis by CTEC, which included the new TEV dimuon data, has a rather looser bound on this integral, and that, again, could affect the difference. Finally, as a spin violation, if UP of X is not equal to dN of X, that could introduce effects. Martin et al. In this paper have examined the existing constraints from the data. For valence quark, you would have an extra term here in R minus coming from these isospin violations, which are described here. The best fit from the data for this quantity delta UV equal to minus delta DV would be 0.002, which introduces a delta sin squared theta W of minus 0.0018. If you then also include similar effects in C quarks, this is reduced a little bit. But again, this could introduce about one sigma, or could explain one sigma of the effect. So it would be nice to have another measurement of this quantity. And NOMAD decided to try and do that. NOMAD does not have very much antineutrino data, so they cannot use the Paskowitz-Wolfenstein method. Instead, it's just a straight R nu, sigma NC over sigma CC. And of course, the question is, can NOMAD match the accuracy of NUTEV without antineutrino data? So let's first of all look at NUTEV numbers themselves. Clearly, if you have antineutrinos, you reduce the model systematics, but it is costly in statistics. You see that the statistical error on delta R nu bar is much larger than in delta R nu. So if you try and calculate sin squared theta W from here, let's see what we get. Of course, you lose in systematics, but as I say, we gain in statistics. The error on R nu is 0.0013. And if you differentiate this, you find that the error on sin squared theta W is 1.6 times the error, this number, so 0.0021. And that is not dramatically different from the error that you get on sin squared theta W using both quantities. So that was encouraging to NOMAD. Still, it's important to have internal checks to replace the antineutrino data. So NOMAD is planning to use to evaluate and reduce systematics by using the double differential cross-sections. A thorough study of that could reduce some of these effects, these uncertainties. It also plans to evaluate M sub C using its own dimuon data, which is more sensitive than NUTEV because of the lower energy of NOMAD. And it will evaluate the strange C content using the somewhat larger sample of dimuon data that it has. So to identify new mu CC events in NOMAD, the first step, of course, is to use the muon identifier, which gives you 90% of them. Then for the 10% remaining, you have to try and find the track that is most likely to be the muon. That is done using a likelihood, which is based basically on topology and kinematic variables. If you leave the muon in the event and you don't think it's, and you don't realize it's a muon, the visible energy seems to be tends to be rather broad. And then if you remove one track at a time from the event and you see which is the one that reduces the width of this jet, that is a good indication of which is the muon. Then taking this track as the muon and using the Monte Carlo, you build two likelihoods, one for neutral current events and one for charged current events which have not been identified, again, based on some kinematic variables. And for each event, you compute the log of the ratio of these two likelihoods. This is shown here in blue for the neutral current events and in green for the surviving new mu cc. This plot is for in green for the unidentified new mu cc, in this, the middle plot for the identified new mu cc, and this plot in purple for the new ECC. If you cut at zero and you retain everything on the left, you retain only 2% of the total new mu cc sample, and you have an efficiency for neutral current of 60%. In addition, you reject any new mu cc event that has survived because of possible inefficiency of the muon chambers, because they would have this shape, and you reject the new ECC as well because of this shape. Efficiencies are best calculated from the data themselves, so NOMAD uses this data simulator technique that they use already for oscillation analysis. You start off with a sample of new mu cc events which is clean, which is a PMU cut of 4 GeV and is therefore biased. To make an unbiased sample, you remove the actual muon and replace it with a fake muon, which goes down in momentum. And of course, you have to rotate the jet and rebalance momenta, but that gives you a sample of unbiased new mu cc events from which you can calculate efficiencies. You then get rid of this fake muon, and that gives you a new mu nc sample. And of course, you have to do something to the hadron jet. You have to remove a positive track according to a complicated algorithm, and that gives you neutral current efficiencies. So the new mu cc sample gives you the efficiency for charge current using the data simulator. The unbiased new mu nc samples gives you the efficiency for neutral current using the data simulator. And now if you take your Monte Carlo events and cut at PMU to 4 GeV and start off with the same bias sample, you can calculate efficiencies for charge current using the Monte Carlo simulator and similarly for neutral currents. So finally, the efficiency for charge current is the efficiency that comes straight out of the Monte Carlo multiplied by the ratio of the efficiency calculated in the charge current data simulator to the efficiency calculated from the charge current Monte Carlo simulator, and similarly for neutral current. Does this work? This is the trigger efficiency as a function of the longitudinal position of the event in the target. The stars that you see here are calculated efficiencies using just the raw Monte Carlo, and the open circle is the efficiency calculated from the neutral current Monte Carlo simulator. And you see that they agree, and if they agree for the Monte Carlo, they will tend to agree for the data, one hopes. There is a modeling that goes on in parallel. NOMAD is involved with Sergei Alekhin to calculate a complete model using all the charge current lepton scattering data. The uncertainties on the parton distributions we carried through. For nuclear effects, this is done in conjunction with Sergei Kulagin, a paper with NOMAD, a NOMAD member, and Kulagin is in preparation. All the standard effects are included. All the available charged lepton scattering data are used and fit with just two parameters, one for low X and one for high X. And the line is the result of one of their fits, and the black dots are the data for carbon over deuterium. So this seems to be a good fit. Final uncertainties for statistics, it's expected to get 0.0019 on this relative uncertainty. Total experimental systematics, 0.0018. Total model has not yet been calculated integrated over all phase space, but for one particular point, one gets 0.0009. And so if this holds out over the whole phase space, then this is the overall uncertainty expected, 0.0028, which when compared to the new TEV, our new uncertainty gives you 0.0033. And so they're not too different. And we should note that these numbers are evaluated assuming just the main target events. The coil events would double the statistics and reduce this number, and it would also reduce the experimental systematics, which are statistics limited. For my last transparency, I would like to look at the future a little bit. There is a proposal or a study to use anti-neutrino E electron elastic scattering at reactors. This is the reference. This is the formula for this process. And the angle comes in via C sub V. The background is radioactivity, cosmic muons, which forces you at least 300 meters water equivalent underground, electrons from muon decay, inverse beta decay. To kill that, you have to identify the neutron. That's probably done with gadolinium. And this IBD is also used for normalization of the data. And the expectations are that for this e-visible range, with two reactors, 3.6 gigawatts, 900 live days, would yield 13,000 events and an error on delta sin squared theta W of 0.0020. It was 0.0016 for NUTEV. Okay, so you see that precision physics and neutrino interaction is actually prevalent in practically all the talks we've heard, and we hope to have some more results on sin squared theta W soon. Thank you.
Questions? Not seeing any questioners, we'll thank our speaker again and close the session.